I'm Andrew Ryan, whose name sounds like Ayn Rand. Don't tell anyone. And I'd like you to buy my game, Bioshock 2. Developed by 94 different studios, it is being released in 2 weeks.
And it will be awesome.
Because I'm Andrew Ryan.
Well, I already bought it, you'll be happy to know, Andrew Ryan, so...
Good! I am dead, though. Spoiler warning. Guess I should have said that first. Well, it's us again for the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 68.
For better or worse, here we are.
I am Ben Heckendorn.
And I am Jones. Much like Madonna and Shakira before me, I have just dropped all other aspects of my name.
And Maya. Pink.
It's true.
Who's that guy? Tarsem? The guy who took the
Tarsem.
Cell?
Tarsem. And there's Topol.
McGee.
Yep. God, I'm not in very good company here. Maybe I should rethink this.
There's got to be some cool people with one name.
Isn't there? It seems... I mean, God, there's like Tupac. He's not very cool.
Lady Gaga. No, wait, that's two words. Keisha.
Oh, God.
Jones, you should make the S in your name a dollar sign.
Obviously. Maybe I'll go back to being Jason Jones here.
Maybe.
We'll see.
This screw is for the submarine on my pinball machine.
See? And that means absolutely nothing to anybody listening.
Oh, that's right, because they can't see this.
Yes. If this were a video podcast, you know, that'd be different.
Yeah, we should do another one of those one of these days.
Might as well.
The natal? Or the natal? Wait, natal. Right.
Yeah, I kind of like calling it the natal, actually. Maybe people could do ultrasounds and stuff if they're pregnant with it.
Oh, because it's going to be so sensitive, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, God, I could take a picture of a skateboard and remove your fingers.
Automatically.
That's pretty
Photoshop
awesome.
Can't even do that.
It's very impressive.
Play movie. What dress are you wearing to the party? I don't know. Why am I even using this? I'm a 12-year-old girl.
Let me go through my virtual wardrobe over here just a second. It's probably kind of like that Dirty Dancing game.
Anyway, today's topics, we're going to discuss the iPad.
Ugh.
Available in the feminine hygiene products aisle. Mom, do you ever get that not-so-fresh feeling? Yes, I reached for the iPad. It's magical. The website says it's magical.
Are you serious?
I shit you not.
Ugh. Flop.
Is the first earlier today when I saw Steve Jobs like in his fake liver holding that thing?
Yeah.
I thought someone had dropped an iPhone in water and it kind of swelled up.
Yeah.
And they pulled it out.
Yeah, I know. When I saw the picture of it, I was just like, huh? But anyway, we'll get to this.
Yes, moveon.org did that later. There's a fun drinking game. Every time we say moveon.org in this podcast, take a drink if you're drinking. You probably need to drink to get through this podcast.
Wouldn't hurt.
Anyway, next topic is 3D in movies. Ugh. It's like a tax. We're going to discuss how it's lame, but we're not going to use the A word.
It's like a plague is what it is.
Yes. It's the real plague, not H1N1.
It's like infecting old movies even. It can't be stopped.
I read an article a couple days ago. It was like, did the WHO overstate the swine flu epidemic?
You think?
It's like, gee, I could have told you this a year ago. Imagine if all the money wasted on swine flu could have been sent to Haiti.
I have nothing against Haiti, but it just bothers me whenever these things happen. And then Americans all rush to, you know, do all this aid and all this stuff. But when something happens in our country, you don't see other countries doing the same thing for us.
That's because we're rich.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Didn't you know that you and I are rich? Didn't you know that? Because we're Americans.
Oh, fun fact.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's my beef. It's nothing against Haiti, per se. It was just like with the tsunami thing, you know, the same thing. We rush to aid, you know, we're spending all this tax money, and then people are also donating money, and it's like, you know, that's fine, but it's like, it'd be kind of nice if other countries would reciprocate, you know, when we have calamity befall us. That's just my point.
Yeah. So what were you saying about Toyota?
Oh, I was just saying it's kind of fun, you know, seeing all their bad press they're getting this week, finally. The rooster's coming home to roost, and maybe people are finally going to realize that their product isn't superior. Like, they've basically, it's come out that they've pretty much been covering up this whole gas pedal thing for the last couple of years.
Well, and when everyone thinks your car is better without any proof, why not cut costs? And
oh, yeah, you know, well, I mean, hell, you know, I don't sit here and say that the domestics are above that. It's like, you know, that's kind of what put them in the position they're in today, is they got aloof. And they started reducing the quality of their vehicles, and it allowed, you know, the Japanese to come in and take market share.
Well, look at EA and Activision. They've kind of flip-flopped. I mean, EA used to be like the slave house thing, and then, you know, but they had the most sales, and Activision kind of pulled itself up from the ranks. I mean, Activision was almost, well, actually, it did go out of business, and then it was basically a intellectual property name that was bought in 1988, I believe. And but anyway, they flip-flop. So, I mean, it can happen. I mean, that if you get too cocky, you'll get knocked down. I mean, this, and it'll happen to Activision. Activision will get too big again, and then they'll get knocked down. And then Ubisoft or someone will take the top mantle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just how it is. You know, you become
disclaimer, complacent. I have done pay projects for both Activision and EA. And using this as a historical analysis. The
but it's like, you know, that always happens no matter what the industry is. And it's just, I get so, you know, tired. And I mean, cars are something I'm very invested in and interested in anyway. So it bothers me whenever you have these people just saying, oh, well, blah, blah, blah. You know, Americans can't build a car worth a crap and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know what? The best car I ever owned was built in Michigan. And the worst car I ever owned was built in Germany. I don't necessarily say that's because it was built in Germany or because the one was built in America. I mean, you can have a lemon wherever it happens, but I think the point is good cars and bad cars can be built anywhere. And
well, it's like just, saying, are the Japanese people robots? No, yeah, they're humans. They're just human like the people beings. In America.
Yeah.
Granted, I mean,
that's why they're recalling millions of cars right now.
Americans are probably more lazy than the Japanese. However, with economic turmoil, we're going to have to get better.
Yep.
And I think we are. Look,
Ford
is like definitely stepping up to the streets, literally, because you drive cars on streets.
Yep. Yep. Both them and GM have pretty excellent product out there right now, and Chrysler's definitely lagging behind. But
yeah, I could see them going under.
Yeah. Well, they're basically getting their almost their entire product line's getting ditched, and it's basically going to be like rebadged Fiats and crap. So,
really, no more Dodge trucks?
They'll still have some trucks, but a lot of those are going to go away. I think the Viper might still exist just because it's like their halo car, but a lot of stuff's going to just go bye-bye because they're going to make all these, you know, small Fiat-based cars.
Yeah, in recent times, actually, you see a lot more Chevys and Ford trucks on the road than, I know Dodge was pretty big back in the 90s, but
even when Dodge was in its heyday in the 90s, they never sold more than half as many trucks as GM or Ford did in any given year.
Yeah, and you can see that on the roads.
Yeah, because GM and Ford are pretty much neck and neck in truck sales every year, generally. They usually, like last year, I don't know what the sales were because last year was a horrible year for the auto industry, obviously, but in a typical year, they would both sell like about 300, 350,000 full-size trucks. And so, and then Dodge was usually down around like 100,000.
Isn't the F-150 like the best-selling vehicle of all time or something?
Yeah, I think so, because it's actually been around forever. Like most product lines, you know, they change them out at some point.
Ranger's been around for like, what, like 25 years, if not more?
Probably.
That's pretty old, too.
Yeah, because there aren't many nameplates that last that long. I mean, like, the Corvette has been around for almost 60 years now, but a lot of stuff, you know, just goes away and comes back. Like, even the Camaro went away for a few years and came back and all that, so
I'd like to see how many Japanese trucks you can drive through a cornfield in the middle of winter that are 25 years old. Not that I have any experience with that.
Oh, wait, there aren't any of them on the road. Oh!
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, every so often you see them, but you see a lot more old American vehicles on the road than foreign vehicles. Why is that? If they last so long, where are they?
Yeah, I always wonder that, too. Maybe they're in California.
Maybe, or Texas, or seems like we were talking about that on our forums once. Okay, shit. Do we have other topics? Oh, yeah. Our final topic is we're going to discuss actors who really haven't lived up to their potential. I watched Ghost of Girlfriends Past last night. And
yeah, McConaughey's a good example of one.
And he's perfectly fine in movies like that, but it's the only kind of movie he makes.
Yeah.
That's why I like Sahara, even though it was a crappy movie. McConaughey was like going around like killing people and stuff, and it was like, okay, this is the movie. So you got, maybe not this movie, but
like Romancing. But then it failed, so then he went back to, you know, the stuff that's reliable.
Or Romancing the Stone, if they remake that, he should like totally be the guy. Michael Douglas was in Ghost of Girlfriend Past. Like, Matthew McConaughey, let me tell you something. You should be in the remake of my movie, because I'm me.
I'm turning into my father.
Who's still alive. Okay, so yes, let's start with the iPad.
Yeah, I don't know. Kept hearing these rumors the past few weeks, you know, about how Apple was going to have a tablet come out and stuff, and it's like, you know, that could be cool, you know, if it's actually like, you know, like a tablet version of one of their laptops. But then, you know, look online today and, oh, it's basically a bloated iPod Touch. I mean, it's really not much more than that. It's just an oversized iPod Touch or iPhone, whatever you want to compare it to. But
price is oversized, too.
Yeah. I just don't know who this thing's for. Because it's like all the people that would theoretically be interested in this thing already have iPod Touches or iPhones, and then anybody who, you know, wants something in that price range would probably prefer to just buy a laptop, which would cost about the same and would do a hell of a lot more.
Well, look, here's an iPod Touch. I can set it right here on the edge of that table.
Yep.
What would happen if that was the iPad?
Would it be a little bigger than your mouse pad?
Yeah.
Probably.
So if it was placed right there...
You definitely can't fit it in your pocket.
Oh, no, it fell off. Yeah, it doesn't fit in your pocket. It's not as powerful as a laptop, but it costs as much as a laptop. And
It has no keyboard. I mean, it's got the touch keyboard, and you can hook one up to it, but I just don't know. It's like, you know, if you want that functionality, just buy a laptop.
Yeah, I'm not...
It's going to be just as, you know, goofy to carry around with you as this thing's going to be.
Yeah, it's like, what do you do with it? I mean... Yeah, if it ran like Mac OS, I could see that. But
yeah, it would make sense.
It's just this.
It's that. Yeah. I mean, to me, what it looks like they're trying to do is they apparently just refuse to make an affordably priced laptop. So this is their answer, is bringing out this thing to try and skirt some of those sales away from, you know, the affordable laptop market that's dominated by Windows right now. So... I mean, that's the only thing I can see with it, but it doesn't make any sense because you can't do the same sorts of things with it.
You know, so. I'm not a big fan of Apple, and I rip on them a lot, but they do a good job of... The stuff they make has a market, and that's good. Like, I think the iPod Touch is great. I have one. I've had it for 2 years. I love it. I would never buy a Mac, but they're well made. I can see why people like them. But this iPad thing, it's like, WTF.
Yeah, it just I just don't see where the market is for it. I mean, I have to think they did market research, and, you know, maybe people said, hey, it'd be great if I could have something that's just like an iPod Touch, but bigger. You know, because I don't know who the hell is going to buy this, because, you know, to me, it's like...
So do you have to put it in a bag or a purse? Or
I would think. I mean, how else are you going to tote it around?
So it's not convenient? Are you even supposed to tote it around?
I would hope so. Otherwise, I really don't understand the point, because if I'm sitting in my home, it's like, well, I can just watch my TV.
Yeah, it's like, can you take notes on it? Oh, there's no handwriting recognition.
Lame.
Yeah, if it was that exact same thing, the same size, and ran Mac OS, that would be fucking
makes
awesome.
Makes sense,
But no.
Yeah, I don't get it.
No SD card slot either, of course. You can get the cheapest piece of shit cell phone on the planet. Well, maybe not, but close. And it'll have a SD slot, but not this thing. Was it 500? Oh, there's six models, right?
Yeah, 500's like the, you know, bottom of the barrel price.
There's three memory sizes because memory is so expensive, you know.
Yeah, it's like, what, 16, 32, and 64.
Yeah.
And I think it goes from 500 to 700 just based on that alone. So if you get the 64, that's like $700.
And each model, there's also a version with 3G capability. So you can. Because, you know, if you have this thing which isn't a phone, you're obviously going to want to pay for a wireless data plan as opposed to the Kindle where you can download stuff wirelessly for free.
Exactly.
As part of the cost.
Because the Kindle rocks. But
is it supposed to be an ebook reader? Is that what it's supposed to be?
Well, it can do that because you can read Kindle books on the iPod Touch and on the iPhone if you want. So you would be able to do the same thing on this. And I did read that Apple's adding some sort of store thing to iTunes, or it's going to be called like iBook, and they're going to try to sell their own books now too, I guess. So that's part of this as well. So I'm sure that's part of it, but I don't know. And maybe that's part of where this is coming from. You know, maybe people that got the Touch and they got like the Kindle app on it and they were like, well, this is cool, but it'd be great if it was bigger. And it's like, well, you could just buy a Kindle. But I suppose this way you get to have your apps and you could do that and you could do all the other crap. So I don't know. Maybe there's a niche there, but I just don't see this thing like taking off. It's not going to be like an iPod or a iPhone, I don't think.
Yeah, it's just kind of confusing.
It seems like it's just it's a device in search of a market that doesn't really exist.
Let's take a take a look at it. Oh no, Conan O'Brien.
Is he drunk with power?
No, I think he's just drunk. Drunk with NBC's money.
Drunk with $33 million in his pocket. I think Conan will be okay.
No wonder The Office was a clip show, because they couldn't afford it.
Well, yeah,
I'm sure Engadget is just nothing but iPad news.
Oh, God. Yep, there it is. They even have it at the top of the screen there, like in their header or something. Oh, okay, I guess.
Wow, look at the border on that thing. It's like an inch.
Yeah. I mean, I have no...
The icons aren't even bigger. It's just like...
I mean, I have no doubts that it'll be, you know, a nice piece of hardware, but it's just like, why? I don't know. It's just like one more piece of technology somebody would have to haul around with them, and it's like, how much of this crap do people really need?
Couldn't you just buy a book? Oh, yeah. Still no flash support.
I do like the Kindle, though. So.
No flash support, though. No multitasking, either.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
Yep, even further removed from a laptop.
Oh, I love how people on here are like, oh, well, flash is going away. It's like, it is?
It's in about every damn portable device there is today. So.
Well, not every portable device.
I said damn near every portable device.
Well, you know, the young kids nowadays, they think Apple's amazing, but Apple is not infallible to shit.
Nope.
I mean, they had the Apple III.
Yeah.
What's the Apple III? Exactly. The Apple Lisa.
Like, everybody can make a piece of shit at some point.
The Newton.
Yeah,
which was
remember
their...
that thing?
Actually, the Newton was actually kind of cool.
But yeah, but it was a complete failure.
Jesse has one.
Well, of course, he's Mac guy, so...
The handwriting recognition is actually pretty good for its age. You'd probably be surprised. Oh, basically, everything Apple made between, like, 86 and 98 pretty much was a failure.
Yeah.
So, the thing is, I mean, eventually you're going to hit a wall.
Yeah. Yep, you can't hit them out of the park every time.
Why not just make it run OS X? God.
Yeah, it's not...
That would be cool. I mean, I still wouldn't buy one.
Well, that would eat into their overpriced laptop sales, though, if they did that. That's probably why.
Yeah.
I mean, think how cheap this thing is. I mean, it's basically the same thing as an iPod Touch. It's just a bit bigger, but they've had to put absolutely no extra resources into its operating system. And
well, it'll just have a faster processor.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, they've not really had to do much of anything.
They
kind of
Nintendo'd it, basically. They just took something and made it a little better.
Yeah. I mean, that's really, you know, R&D-wise, there was, you know, virtually nothing to this to bring it to market, and they can, you know, charge a significantly higher price for it.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see. It's kind of a lot of money, though.
Yeah.
When you're going to carry that around and listen to... So are you supposed to have that and an iPod? I mean...
Yeah, no, that's my question. It's like, you know, somebody who's already got an iPod Touch or an iPhone, you would think they'd be kind of the demographic for something like this. Are they really going to have both? It just, I don't know, it just doesn't add up for me. On a nice side note, though, last night I was messaging a guy on my friends list, and he sent me this message, and he's like, hey, you know, I know you got a Zune HD. He's like, what sort of, you know, games does it have, blah, 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 because I'm thinking about, you know, getting an iPod Touch or that, and that's kind of the deal breaker. And I, you know, I flat out told him, I'm like, you know, it there aren't a lot there for it, and if that's your, you know, kind of deal breaker thing is the games, I'm like, you should just get an iPod Touch, you know, and even though I would have rather seen him get a Zune HD. But, you know, I told him that, and then we kept messaging back and forth, and I kind of described how the Zune Pass works and these different things, and the fact that you actually get to keep 10 songs a month and all that, so really you're paying, like, $5 a month to rent as many other songs as you want, which is, you know, basically what you pay for Xbox Live each month. And eventually he wound up coming around and saying, you know what, I think I'm going to get a Zune HD.
I don't usually play games on my iPod Touch very much. I mean, there's a few on there, but...
Yeah, so...
I like the Facebook thing, but...
I just thought that was kind of funny. You know, at first I recommended, I'm like, yeah, you should get an iPod Touch, and then eventually just talking about what the Zune HD can do. Because another thing that was cool, too, was, like, he was wondering, you know, about, like, you know, being able to buy a TV show through, like, Xbox Live or whatever. It's like, can you play it on the Xbox, the Zune, and the PC? And yes, you can. It's tied across all those things.
Oh, so if you buy it, you can plug the Zune into the Xbox?
No, not into the Xbox. You just pull it down through the Zune software. It's all integrated. That was part of that November update, and that's why now it's like the Zune Video Marketplace and all that. And Sony does something similar where, like, if you buy something on the PS3, you can also watch it on the PSP, but there's no option to be able to watch it on your computer also if you want, which is something that Microsoft has available.
Oh, that's cool. So if you bought a video on the Xbox, you can...
You can watch it on your Zune also.
Oh, neat.
Or on your PC. And they have, like, you know, pretty much every TV show out there you can think of, so for people that like to buy those, that's a, you know, nice feature. And to me, it just made me think of, you know, it's like, this just shows how poorly, you know, we've talked about this before, where Apple's best attribute is their marketing. They're very good at showing you, this is what the device does. Bam, bam, bam. And people are like, wow, yeah, that's what I want.
Yep.
And it's like Microsoft just fails at that. With the Zune especially, it's like, you know, you don't see ads for the Zune touting any of this stuff. You know, it's just like, you know, put the stuff out there, you know, say, hey, you know, subscriptions this much a month, you get to keep 10 songs, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can play videos across all these devices, you know, all this stuff, and they don't do any of that. And so, you know, the things don't sell beyond kind of a niche audience.
Oh, no.
So, it's just kind of interesting. But, so there'll be one more Zune HD in the world, which is a good thing.
You're kind of like Michael Caine in the Cider House Rules.
Yeah.
Like you're bringing Zunes into the world.
That's right.
And you almost aborted one, too.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It's just like that. With any luck, I'll go home tonight and Charlize's bare ass will be waiting for me. Probably won't happen, though.
The Cider House Rules. So I was confused in that movie. I thought the Cider House was like the clinic or the orphanage, and then I realized the Cider House was where they made the cider.
Yes.
Like, what do these rules have to do with anything in the movie? They should have called it, like, Abortion Kid. Or, like,
well, the rules
Apple
are,
Man.
Like, he had to go out into the world and, you know, see how things were out in the world, and then he came back and understood why Kane did the stuff he did. Because when he's there at the beginning, you know, he's all very, you know, righteous and,
right,
you know, I can't do this and, you know, why are you doing this? But then he goes out and sees how the real world is and, you know, has to live amongst the people who have to live by those rules. And then he starts to understand that, you know, maybe there is a place for this in the world. So, good movie.
Yeah, I think it should have been called, like, Orphan Boy or...
Abortion Factory.
Abortion Factory. Knocked Up.
Not anymore.
Paul Rudd Babies.
He is in it, so...
He sure is.
Knocked Up Charlize.
Jessica Alba's pregnant?
How did this happen?
Oh, God. Yeah. Let's move on, .org, to our next topic, which is the 3D tax.
Ugh.
Now, the reason we call it, I call it the 3D tax, is because every movie now is going to be in 3D or converted into 3D. Lame. Fine, but when you go to a movie in 3D, it costs, like, what, $250 more?
$250 to $3, yeah.
So
it's just a surcharge,
that's
basically.
Like 20% more income for the studio.
Yeah.
Out of thin air, sort of. Well, obviously, making a 3D movie costs more than...
But it's not very much, really, in the grand scheme.
Right, so it's basically a way to increase ticket sales even faster than they're already increasing... Oh, I'm sorry, not ticket sales, ticket prices. I mean, ticket prices are far higher than the rate of inflation. But now it's like, bam, they just jumped $250.
Yep.
I mean, what would people do if... Well, maybe that's a bad analogy. But, like, if anything else jumped, like, 20% in price instantly, people would be throwing a fit. Like, well, me at Miller's.
Well, look at gas when it went up. I mean, it went up more than 20% at certain points. But, you know, people were up in arms and, you know, they were wanting taxes on all the, like, oil companies.
Because taxing oil companies is a great way to bring down the price of gasoline.
Yeah. And then they wanted to, you know, have... all these cars be more fuel efficient and stuff, but then, you know, prices went back down and then people didn't really care anymore. And
oh, crap, we're going to miss the State of the Union address.
Good.
I'm just glad it's not on over Lost. Oh, well, they're going to put a freeze on some spending in the government, not in the defense budget,
well,
of course not,
which is where we could save the most money.
It's like, they're looking at a $1.4 trillion deficit for 1 year.
Yep.
But let's just keep fighting wars that nobody likes. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like, hello. It's like, that's like, yeah. That's stupid.
But anyway, 3D.
Yes, 3D. Okay, so the thing is with 3D is if it's done well, you don't notice it. And if it's not done well, it's annoying.
So it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you spend all day in three dimensions unless you're, you know, Ty from Battlestar Galactica. Bill, I lost a fracking eye to the fracking Cylons. I hate the fracking Cylons. Glug, 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 glug. Wait, I am a fracking Cylon. And I fracked two fracking Cylons. I still hate them, though.
Well played, Ty.
But anyway,
yeah.
So Ty would... Yeah, what if you only have one eye? I mean, do you get a discount when you go to the 3D movies?
You get to go in for only $1.25 extra.
You know, half price. but I mean, yeah, is every theater going to become 3D and instantly more expensive?
It's certainly trending that way.
Going to the movies is
it
too
already
expensive.
Was expensive.
What is it like? I know you always see online people like, oh, it's $12 here in New York and blah, 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 and yeah, whatever. But
I think here it's $9.75, like, if you go to a night show. And even, like, a matinee is, like, $6.25 or $6.50 or something now.
It's well above $6.
So, yeah, I mean, I love movies, but I just don't go very often anymore, and that's a big part of it. Plus, the movies just aren't very interesting anymore either. And I mean, if you know this whole 3D fad's going to be the way of the future, I'll probably go less and less.
Oh, maybe they still got time to 3D-itize Iron Man 2. I mean,
wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, they're
already doing Clash of the Titans.
That's so dumb. You know, even worse than making everything 3D is like converting a movie into 3D. Like,
yeah,
Clash of the Titans. Yeah, it comes out like what in.
It's like March. It's like another month and a half, I think.
So they're going to like quickly convert it to 3D. It's like
you're
cutting the actor out of the frame and then you're like reproducing the background after like changing the frame. And
oh, it's going to look like garbage, I'm sure.
Yeah, what was it? Harry Potter and the Order of the Magical Creature in the Woods. Which
Order
one was
of the
it?
Phoenix, the fifth one. But they had like about a 10-15 minute sequence towards the end of the movie where they did that.
I think
it did
I saw
not
that.
Look, yeah, because I think you went with us.
That was the one where Gary Oldman died, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
it just didn't look good at all.
And Dale said the 3D-itized Nightmare Before Christmas didn't look that good.
Yeah.
Because it's fake. 30 years ago, you had people like George Lucas and Steven Spielberg and Woody Allen going to Congress and testifying against Ted Turner colorizing movies. Now George Lucas wants to 3D-itize his movies.
Yeah.
You know, granted, they're his movies. He can do whatever he wants. But fuck that. It's bullshit. Yeah. It's like, what are we going to do, like, 3D-itize the Bible? It's like...
Give him time.
Okay, granted, even though Avatar, the 3D wasn't really... Oh, shit, I said Avatar.
That's okay. Avaturd instead.
Avaturd. The 3D wasn't... I don't know, it wasn't as seamless as other movies I've seen, but at least the movie was made in 3D, but it's like, oh, yes, you Photoshop geek, your job is to put splines around Sam Worthington for 94,000 frames. Have fun.
Yeah.
The guy's like, ugh. And the next Harry Potter...
guy goes over to his cube and is like, drink. Cluck, 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 cluck.
Although Liam Neeson is Zeus.
Yeah, I don't know. Dale pretending to be Liam Neeson saying unleash the Kraken was like way cooler than actually seeing Liam Neeson do it in the trailer.
Mm. So you're saying
Dale was like, unleash the Kraken! But then you see Liam Neeson do it and he's just kind of like, unleash the Kraken. There's like no intensity. It's like, yeah, he was shot against blue screen. He didn't really care. Awesome.
But they're making a sequel to Taken.
Well, that will be cool.
Taken again!
Well, basically, the sequel to Taken comes out this weekend.
Oh,
with
Edge
Mel Gibson in it.
I wonder if people are going to go back to Mel Gibson.
I want to go see that movie, actually. It's like Mel running around, just somebody's screwed with his family and he's killing people.
Don't people realize...
That's what I want to see.
Even if Mel Gibson has gotten divorced and had trouble with the law, you still shouldn't kill his family.
I know.
He'll come and you're not going to live.
No.
It's not going to work.
So was
it Gary Sinise? Oh, I know. I'll kidnap Mel Gibson's son. That's a great idea.
Whoops. But yeah, so I want to see that thing. Looks like it could be a good time. Just to see Mel act again would be cool. It's been...
What, newer soldiers?
God.
Probably, right?
What was it? Seems like there was... That's pretty close, I would think. There might have been something else around
What
there.
Women Want?
That, when was that? Was that 2000?
Oh, yeah, that was older.
Yeah, and Soldiers was like 02, maybe? So, yeah, it's probably around that time. I mean, I think he had, like, a bit role in, like, there was some movie called The Singing Detective, but nobody saw that. So, it doesn't really count. But
We Were Soldiers, that's the one where he went to Vietnam, right?
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I guess it was pretty good. I remember them peeing on mortar cannons. I remember that part.
I like the stuff, too, where they showed, like, the army wives and, you know, like, back home and how they kind of banded together. I thought that was neat because my cousin is in the military and, you know, I've talked to his wife before when he's been deployed and she's, you know, talked about how that's very much how it is. You know, they're very tight-knit and will, you know, pitch in and help each other out and all that. So I thought it was kind of neat to see that actually represented in a movie. And it wasn't in 3D, and guess what? I enjoyed it.
What?
And people will say, well, Jones, you went to those Toy Story movies, and those were in 3D. And it's like, yes, but I didn't go because they were 3D. I went because I never actually saw them in the theater before, and I was like, oh, this will be cool to actually get to see them in the theater.
So I don't know what my excuse was for going with you guys, because I'd seen both of them in the theater.
Yeah, you had nothing better to do that
day.
Yeah,
it's like, well, it's either this or sit around playing video games. Or pinball, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've pretty much decided I'm going to swear off 3D for the most part. I won't say that I'm never going to go to a 3D movie again, but more often than not, I'm going to go against it.
I'm
going to
miss the 3D documentaries because those are never going to get screen time anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that's the stuff I'd like to see because that stuff's cool.
It's like, oh, let's blow up a 35mm movie to IMAX and turn it into fake 3D and charge people $12 to see it.
Because that's like...
Fuck that.
Because that's like Transformers. This is going to be Transformers 3D, of course. I'm sure it will be.
Ghostbusters is going to be 3D. Ghostbusters 3. And so Gremlins 3.
See, they can call them all 3D.
Men in Black 3D.
Ugh. That just doesn't need to happen after the second one. What an atrocity.
Oh, Ghostbusters 3 is going to be the fucking atrocity.
I don't know. Men in Black 2 was pretty damn bad.
I bet you Ghostbusters 3 is worse. Come on, Ivan Reitman sucks.
That's a tall order. Have you seen Men in Black 2?
I have.
Ugh, that movie was horrible.
It was bad, but I mean...
The only part I laughed at is at the beginning when the alien shows up and turns into Laura Flynn Boyle and it's got, like, the stomach bulging out. And then she, like, looks up at the billboard and sees this supermodel on it, so she, like, pukes up the thing she just ate, and so now she's skinny. That was the only thing I thought was, like, remotely funny in that movie.
I don't know. I think Ghostbusters 3 will be terrible.
I'm sure it won't be good, because, I mean, let's face it, the second one wasn't very good either.
No.
But, yeah. But yeah, that's the thing. It's like everything's going to be 3D now, which I guess the good thing about that is the novelty will wear off quickly. It's one of these things where if Hollywood were smart, they'd be selective with what they do it with, but they're not going to be. They're just going to go whole hog and do it with everything, and then people are just not going to give a shit anymore.
Like Spider-Man 3, or 4, whatever the fuck they're calling the new Spider-Man reboot, yeah. Which, well,
I think you're right. They're going to call it The Amazing Spider-Man, I'm sure.
Well, right, but it's going to be cheap as well, like $80 million, and it's going to concentrate on his high school.
Yeah, so trauma. It's like, who cares?
But it's in 3D. It's like, yeah, and who cares? Why? Oh, 3D hallway.
He's in high
school,
and it's 3D. Awesome. It's like high schoolers be like, wow, it's just like when I was in class this week. How awesome.
Ugh.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, something like Avatar, it's like, you know, it's fine. You know, I didn't care for the movie, but, you know, at least with that.
Well, The Hangover will probably be in 3D. I mean, the sequel.
Yeah, that's when you know it'll be really bad, is when they start, you know, making, like, romantic comedies and things in 3D.
I mean, like, Spider-Man in 3D would be cool, like, the existing ones, but we don't know what this one's going to be. Oh, I saw this interview with Stan Lee, and he's still alive, and he's like, I think the new Spider-Man's a great idea. And as soon as I heard him say that, I'm like, yeah, here's what you're thinking.
Lines his
pockets. We don't have to pay Kristen Dunst, Tobey Maguire, or Sam Raimi their huge percentages, yeah. So that means I get more.
Exactly. As if that putz,
you know,
needs anyone.
Sony's going to have like their belt tied around Mark Webb's nutsack so tight on that movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'll be very similar to, like, you know, the Bond movies, how they've been in the past, where, you know, they just get some director they can boss around.
Yep.
Because obviously that's what they wanted to do with Raimi, and Raimi was, like, nuts to this and just left because, you know, it's like they wanted to, you know, question his creativity. And it's like, you know, this is the guy who's made three straight $300 million plus movies just domestically. You know, I don't know, maybe you'd want to listen to him. But no.
Yeah, like in part two, you know, he was given free reign, and it's like considered one of the best superhero movies ever. See, I said considered to be.
Yes.
I put it in the world context.
Nice.
But no, don't let him do what you want. Like even in part three, like
they messed with him on that too, didn't they? Like, didn't he have some, you know, battles with the studio over that thing?
It's like, why? Because Spider-Man 2 made like $20 million less than the first one? I mean, it's probably why, but
yeah.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, I just,
speaking of that, we should move on .org to our final topic.
Ugh.
But yeah, 3D, it's, the thing is, if it makes the movies cost more, and I mean, I like to waste money on stuff, but even like going to the movies is like, oh Christ, how much it costs.
Well, that was like turd when we went and saw that. It was like $15. I'm like, you know, I could have bought like a Blu-ray with, you know, that $15, you know, it just...
And imagine
starts
you see, like,
to reach this
a family at night. Well, families probably don't go at night very often, but you have like a mom, a dad, two kids, and a bunch of shit. I mean, you're talking about $60 easily.
Yeah, easy. You know, when you get all your concessions and stuff. I mean, it's, I don't know. I would think the theaters would not like it that much because people will probably buy less concessions than they already do. Maybe not.
But well, no. I mean, because if the movie costs more, I mean, and it's not like, you know, like the incremental 25 cents every year or whatever it is, like,
no,
bam, $2.50.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. If I were theater owners, I'd be kind of concerned about it.
Well, I usually don't buy concessions anyway, but yeah, if I'm having to pay $11 for a movie or something, yeah. Even less likely. Sneak it in. It's like the pudding.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very rare if I get concessions, but every now and then I'll get a hankering for nachos at the theater, and I don't care what anybody says, I have not found nacho cheese outside of a movie theater that tastes like it does at the movies. I don't know what the hell it is that's special about it, but it's different than anything I've found at any store ever. So it's worth the occasional premium to me to get those.
Dale was saying we need a new pudding movie.
Huh?
Oh, you didn't know about that?
Oh, a new... I thought you said, like, make a pudding movie. I'm like, what the hell are
No, I'm
we?
Not that crazy.
Are we, like, the studio that's making all the board game movies, or what?
Maybe The Hobbit, although I guess I got pushed back. a year.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Peter Jackson just kind of push Del Toro out of the way on that. And
I don't know. Lovely Bones kind of took a nosedive off the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, so he'll need that movie.
He'll need it, yeah.
Wasn't Del Toro attached like 9,000 other movies anyway?
Probably. I'm sure there's a Hellboy 3 lingering somewhere, even though the first two didn't do anything.
Understood Del Toro. I mean, Pan's Labyrinth is a good movie, but and he's never really made a movie that's made more than like $60 million, yet they're throwing him all this shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, hell, they give, you know, music video directors the reins to, you know, $100-some-million movies.
True,
so
and that's worse than giving. I mean, Del Toro's actually proven himself.
Yeah.
He did direct the classic movie Mimic, which is okay, I guess. All right, that'd probably be a good segment.
That probably would have been even better if it was in 3D, though.
3D bugs.
I mean, apparently 3D makes everything better, so.
Blade 2 would have been so much better in 3D. Some motherfuckers don't have to ice skate uphill in 3D!
So yes, we're not convinced on 3D, I guess, is the thing to take away from this.
I already have to wear glasses. I don't want to wear more glasses.
Yeah, it's something we'll have to talk about some other time, though, is probably like the 3D TV stuff. Because I just don't get that either.
Yes, because people can obviously afford that in this current economy.
Well, and yeah, I want to sit around wearing special glasses in my living room to watch TV. Yeah, awesome.
I think there's some TVs that don't need glasses, but those are really expensive.
And that's what I would hold out for. Just because it's like, you know, why take this middle step? Because it's like, oh yeah, you get a 3D TV, but then you only get two sets with it. And then let's say, you know, you guys come over and you don't want to watch a movie. It's like, oh, sweet, I got to buy like an extra couple sets of glasses just to have laying around for when people might stop by and want to watch a movie.
And is there a standard to the glasses?
That I don't know.
See, now, but
I've heard they're like $50 a piece or something. So it's like that's an extra $100. You know, I don't know, dumb.
Well, you know, if you had a DLP, if you had two sets of DLP chips, you could actually put them through polarization filters and create a 3D effect.
Yeah, a true like, one, yeah.
Well, not a true one, just a different one.
Well,
so
yeah.
You could actually put two sets of different polarized light on the screen since it's projected like a theater, and then you just need the cheapy ones at the theater, which are just, you know, polarized lenses.
You'd get the same effect you see in the theater when you take the glasses off.
As opposed to LCD shutter glasses, which are the ones that cost more money.
Have you ever read anything about the Avatared 3D? Because it was like vertical, remember that? Instead of the horizontal, like Polestar?
It might have been, I know there's Dolby, what's it called?
There's like Real D.
There's 3D, Real D and there's Dolby, and one of them uses spherical polarization, not necessarily just up and down.
Okay.
No, I don't have the answer.
Yeah, I forgot about that, but that was the first 3D movie I'd been to where it was like vertical instead of horizontal. For
maybe
the
it was a spherical polarization. Because maybe the light is rotated rather than
offset like it normally is, I guess.
Okay, so actors who are not living up to their potential.
Well, we already have a candidate in Matthew McConaughey, who I love, but yes, he could be better utilized.
What's that site? BoxOfficeMojo.com? Does it tell you grosses by actor?
I think you can look it up by actor, actually. I think you can get that through the free... Ugh, don't look.
What?
Ugh, just the top grossing...
Avatar!
The top grossing movies of all time, and...
The Book of Eli?
The sadness that is about to occur.
Look at Liam Neeson as whatever in A-Team. Look at how awesome that is.
Yeah, see, I'd rather see A-Team than that Clash of the Titans movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you got I'm sure it's a stogie.
It's PG-13, I'm sure, right?
Probably. The only good thing about that Clash of the Titans movie is maybe if it's successful, it'll finally kick somebody in the ass to make a God of War movie.
Isn't it the same goddamn movie?
Well, not if it's PG-13, it isn't.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's the thing. We need a new Arnold.
You know? I don't think we're ever going to get a new Arnold.
No!
We want one, but Arnold, they broke the mold when they made him. He's one of a kind. The closest thing we ever got was The Rock, and he never fulfilled the potential.
So here's something. The Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, that didn't do very well.
Okay, so here we go. We're going to talk about box office grosses, okay? Ready? Total Recall, The Rundown. Which made more?
I don't know. Total Recall probably did. I don't know. What did that do for box office?
It made more than The Rundown. Terminator 2 versus The Game Plan.
Pretty sure Terminator 2 made more money.
True Lies versus Doom.
Yeah. I think we know who won there.
Kindergarten Cop versus The Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, but if you took Kindergarten Cop against The Game Plan, I bet you The Game Plan beat it.
Right, but Arnold just made one movie like that, and then he moved to .org.
Well, he made, like, Junior, and he made Jingle All the Way. So
but that was, like, later in his career.
Yeah, I know, but still, he didn't just make one.
Dwayne Johnson's made, like, one movie, The Rundown, which was still wussified.
Yeah.
And it was basically
he made The Scorpion King, too.
That was good.
Don't forget that.
See, why doesn't he make more stuff like that? And that movie was directed by Chuck Russell, who directed Eraser.
Which is an awesome movie.
He needs to make more movies. Why doesn't he? He's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Scorpion King was way better than it had any right to be. I think we actually discussed this in the podcast.
It's just completely cheesy, but it was fun as hell.
But The Rock is like, hey, I'm a big muscle guy. I'm going to make a movie where I go around killing people with a sword.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
Win.
Yeah, but now he's like, ooh, look at me. I've got wings and a tutu on.
Yeah.
Who wants that? So it's like, just pick up a machine gun and start killing people. I mean, that's what people want. Well, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Thing is, like, we live in a different time. You know, I mean, it sucks, but it's like...
Why? People love to watch that 24 show, and that's basically an 80s movie.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what it is.
Well, Vin Diesel.
Dale and I had this discussion in the last podcast, too, and it's kind of... You know, I kind of agreed with him in some ways about how, you know, like, the 80s were a very... It was a time of excess, and, you know, so we had, you know, Arnold running around... carrying trees and blowing up islands, and we had Stallone just obliterating Vietnam. And
what about the Expendables?
Well, that'll definitely be something. I did think it was funny when Stallone released that x-ray of his neck when people were questioning him when he said he broke his neck filming some fight scene.
Yeah, I broke my neck. Didn't look.
So he released an x-ray that showed, like, the pins and the plate and stuff that are in his neck now.
I'll go see that movie. I thought Rambo 4 was fairly joyless, but...
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's got Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis in one scene.
Yeah.
That's worth it right there.
The movie the 80s never gave us.
So, you're saying that we'll just never get another 80 movies because it's not the 80s? I mean, I guess that makes sense.
I don't know. I think we... Someday, maybe we'll get back to that. But, you know, now we live in this time where, you know, James Cameron, he was going to make True Lies 2, but then 9/11 happened, and so then it went on the shelf, and then we get Turd instead. You know, and it's like, that's kind of the time we live in. Like, nobody's really taking risks, or nobody's willing to just have some American going around blowing shit up.
Look at Taken. I mean, the movie came out of nowhere, and it made a lot of money.
Yeah.
It was basically, that was basically an 80s movie.
Yeah, it was very close.
I'm going to come to France and kill everyone.
Yeah, I mean, like, the one guy who's really making 80s movies is Jason Statham. He's like, the closest thing we've got to, like, you know, he kind of could probably be compared to Stallone a little bit, but, you know, he's probably a better actor than Stallone, I don't know, but... You know, he makes similar movies. Like, The Transporter was very much an 80s movie. Crank was just completely ridiculous and batshit crazy, kind of like some of the 80s movies were.
I don't see why we couldn't still have those kind of movies. It just seems like a waste.
Well, I think we could have them. It's just Hollywood's too timid. They're too safe in their choices.
Well, like I was talking about earlier with I hope I spelled this right. Probably not.
That's why it's always
close enough.
That's why it's always so amazing when, you know, a studio actually makes a movie like 300 or Watchmen. You know, it's like I didn't particularly care for 300, but it was cool that somebody made a movie like that. You know, it's a good hard R,
and they made a bunch of money for it. Okay, Matthew McConaughey's another one. It goes to Girlfriend's Pass, Surfer
which is an
Dude.
Excellent movie.
I know, but Fool's Gold, Fear of the Launch, Two for the Money, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Sadly, I've seen quite a few of these movies. Fool's Gold, you should see. It's kind of Romancing the Stone-esque.
Oh, and his name is Benjamin, so obviously it's a great movie.
But I mean, it's kind of along those lines, you know, for that type of movie.
Oh, that's right. He was in Frailty.
Yep.
Hey, Matthew McConaughey, we were in that submarine movie together. Want to kill people in a movie for me?
I think the thing with McConaughey is, you know, like they kind of... You know, he came along in the 90s, and they were kind of like, oh, this guy could be like the next Tom Cruise.
Yeah, because he was supposed to be in Titanic. Like, Fox actually wanted him to be the star.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, they were kind of like, oh, he's like the next Tom Cruise or something. So they stick him in like A Time to Kill, and they put him in Contact, you know, and he was just kind of out of place. I mean, I enjoyed both those movies, but, you know, you could just kind of tell he wasn't like the best fit for them. But then he's found this niche, you know, with romantic comedies, and you know what? Women like to see him with his shirt off, and, you know, if that's what gets people going to the theater, what the hell?
Well, if I was built like that, I wouldn't wear a shirt either.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's like, you know, but I mean, he's kind of, like, just a surfer dude. Like,
yeah,
that's what he is
like,
in the reality. And so, you know, that's kind of what he plays. And he's great at playing a cad. I mean, you gotta give him credit for that. Like, in Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, I thought he was just... You know, awesome in that.
You know, but wouldn't it be cool if he made some sort of movie like Sahara, but it was good?
Oh, I'm not denying
like,
that would be awesome.
Maybe he could be in the Uncharted movie.
Yeah.
That might work.
Yeah, that would work. I mean, I'd love to see him make, like, you know, a good adventure movie, because I think he'd be
what is this, he's like 40, maybe? 39? I mean...
Yeah, he's like late 30s, I think.
He's got plenty... I mean, Harrison Ford was like, what, 38 in Raiders? I mean, he's got plenty of time to do that.
I mean, like, Fool's Gold's the closest he's come. It's not an amazing movie, but it's, you know, treasure hunting and stuff like that. And it's not bad. And it's even got Donald Sutherland running around and Ray Winstone.
He was in Indy 4.
Well, that's all right. He's still a quality actor.
Well, are there some actors or actresses you think could be doing more?
Well, McConaughey was definitely the one that popped into my mind when you suggested the topic earlier today. God, who else? There's probably someone.
McConaughey is like a successful version of Chris O'Donnell, which is a good thing. Because remember, Chris O'Donnell was supposed to be so cool, and he had some sort of Girlfriend's Past movie. What was that called? The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Vertical Limit had a really good trailer, but then it sucked.
Yeah, not good.
Hey, Chris O'Donnell. I'm on this mountain. Come save me. I'm evil.
Well, here's somebody. Will Ferrell. Because if anybody out there has seen Stranger Than Fiction, they know this guy can act. And he was very excellent in that. But generally, he just does these, you know, stupid, you know, I'm yelling and for some reason I'm naked again movies all the time, which
sometimes... Oh, like sometimes,
man-child movies? Yeah, I mean, and sometimes those can be fun, but...
Yeah, Anchorman was good.
But I'd like to see him, you know, do more of that Stranger Than Fiction type stuff. It's kind of like when P.T. Anderson put Sandler in Punch Drunk Love, because Sandler just does all these stupid, you know, again, man-child movies, you know, where he talks in some stupid voice and, you know...
Can you give us an example?
Let's see, Billy Madison.
No, I mean, you had to do an impression.
Oh, God. Just give me a snack pack! He actually says that in Billy Madison. But then he also is like, I don't want to go to school today!
You know, see, I actually liked his first couple movies, but then, like, The Water Boy, for some reason, just pissed me off.
Yeah. And, I mean, again, some of that stuff's fine, But I thought it was interesting, you know, like when P.T. Anderson made Punch Drunk Love, and, you know, this is a guy who's made, you know, now he's made, like, There'll Be Blood, but he'd made, like, Boogie Nights, Magnolia, pretty serious fare. And then he goes and makes this movie and puts Sandler in it with, you know, a lot of really good actors around him. And, you know, he said leading up to that, he's like, I think Adam Sandler's a good actor, you know, and he's like, I'm going to give him the chance to show it. And Sandler was really good in it, and... You know, it's kind of interesting to see these actors who, you know, normally nobody would think to give them the chance to do a role like that, but then they get the chance and they really nail it. And it would be interesting, you know, to see them do that some more. I thought that was one of the neat things about Funny People, is that Sandler got to play a bit more serious of a role again, which was kind of nice to see. So I think that's kind of the thing. A lot of these comedy actors, they don't get taken seriously, but... Every now and then they get given a chance and make the most of it, and it'd be nice to see people keep giving them that chance. So I guess
those
are the
sorts of people. Bill Murray made that transition.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he made, and he still makes kind of comedy stuff, but it's like Wes Anderson type comedy, so it's, you know, not like pratfalls and stupid voices and stuff.
Yeah, I liked The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou quite a bit.
Yeah, that was really good. God, that part where they go to that island, he's going around shooting everybody. Oh, God.
Oh, what's his face? The Fly.
Goldblum?
Goldblum gets shot, but doesn't even act like he's been shot.
Yep.
It's like the whole movie is like a farce.
Yeah.
But it's great.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, the whole thing is kind of surreal, like, you know, where they have the cutaway of the ship and they're walking through it, or like
yeah.
The end where they're looking for the shark, the special effects are like almost like a cartoon. But
yeah.
But, yeah, I actually like that movie a lot.
Yeah, it was good. But, so yeah, those are probably kind of...
Oh, you're pregnant! Because you can tell he's basically playing himself, but it was perfect.
Yeah.
yeah. Oh, Owen Wilson was in that, wasn't he?
Yep. I always like him when he shows up, too.
Maybe Luke Wilson needs to. He needs to realize his potential.
Yeah. I like Luke Wilson, but God, he doesn't do a very good job of picking roles.
At all, actually.
Yeah. Maybe he needs to break his nose.
Has he ever been in a successful movie?
God, it had to have happened. I'll look him up quick.
He's literally like the kiss of death, because he was in Idiocracy, which was terrible without him. I don't care what anyone says. It was.
Yeah, that movie sucked.
You know, some people are like, oh, Fox buried this movie because they hated Mike Judge. It's like, no, they buried it because it was terrible.
Yep. Well, he was in Royal Tenenbaums, which I think was reasonably successful.
Oh, yeah, another Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah.
Oh, he was in Old School, duh.
Oh, yes, that's right, which was very successful.
He was in 310 to Yuma.
Really?
Yeah, Blades of Glory.
God, I don't remember him in 310 to Yuma.
Okay, maybe he's not as bad as we think he is. Oh, and he was in Legally Blonde 2.
Oh, that's right, he was in both of those. I think the thing is, like, when he's kind of above the line on a movie, it doesn't perform, though. That's probably more what we're getting at. Because most of these movies, he's some supporting guy.
Right.
Where, you know, like, Vacancy, it's him and Vampire Woman, and it didn't do well. Idiocracy, he was the main guy. Bomb. I know there's been others. But, yeah.
Idiocracy is one of those movies where, I don't know, people just... It was pretty bad.
Yeah, I remembered watching that, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this should be kind of cool, you know, because I liked I liked The Office, or Office Space. I'll get it right one of these times. And it was, you know, that's a funny movie and stuff, so I'm like, oh, yeah, Idiocracy, this is, you know, got some potential, and God, it was horrible. I had a hard time getting
it. The first 3 minutes were funny and, you know, relevant.
Yeah.
But then the rest of it was just, the thing that really bothered me is, if everyone's so stupid, where do these machines come from?
Yeah, they have all this great technology, but everybody's stupid.
Yeah.
You know, you expected there to be a reveal at some point of, you know, like, there's still, like, this, you know, closed-off society that's all the smart people, and they're the ones that are really in control of everything, or, you know, it's something, but it never happens. It's just a bunch of stupid people.
Yeah, by the time they had, like, the giant phallic monster truck and Mountain Dew and...
God, I'm so glad I've somehow blanked most of these things right out of my mind.
Yeah, that movie was not good.
Ugh.
You know, Office Space doesn't really hold up. I
don't know. I still find it pretty funny until, like, the last, you know, 20 minutes or so.
And it's then The Office.
No.
Yeah, Act 3 definitely is a completely different movie. That happens a lot in movies.
Yeah.
We should make another comedy, because according to Ghost of Girlfriend's Past or any other movie, all you need is a wedding. There always has to be a wedding, apparently.
Yeah.
Because The Hangover, there was a wedding. Wedding Crashers, there was a wedding, believe it or not.
A bunch of them, actually.
The Wedding Planner with McConaughey.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
My Best Friend's Wedding, 4 weddings and a funeral.
Yeah.
License to Wed, your favorite movie.
Yes! With Jim.
So is Jim in that, or is he a different character?
Yeah, he's kind of Jim-like.
Is he Bookface?
Almost. It's got Mandy Moore in it, so that's fine.
It's the greatest movie ever made. Well, I shall have to put Fool's Gold onto my Netflix, although I'm sure Netflix will think I'm a Matthew McConaughey fan and then say, you need to see Contact, which is actually a good movie.
Yes, it is. It's a hell of a flick.
Let's see, who else needs to live up to their potential?
I'd like to see Jessica Biel in more things.
But she's in A-Team.
I know.
But, and Powder Blue, which apparently is not good according to Dale.
Oh, hey, I've never seen that.
I don't see how Jessica Biel as a stripper could not be good.
I don't know, the way he described that scene, it sounded pretty unappealing. Wasn't it like she's, like, throwing hot wax on herself and crying and shit?
Well, Marissa Tomei's character in The Wrestler was kind of a sad character, too, but...
Yeah, but she wasn't throwing, like, hot wax and scalding herself and crying.
Well, she was a stripper.
Well, that's fine. Being a stripper and then being somebody who is, like, you know, injuring yourself and, I don't know, doing some sort of sick penance or... I don't know what the hell's going on.
Apparently Jessica Biel climbed a mountain or something.
She did.
Did you hear about that? Like a bunch of celebrities, what was it, like Mount Kilimanjaro or something?
Nice.
She made it to the top, apparently.
Hmm.
She's probably pretty tough.
Oh, well, I'm sure she is. She looks like she's in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Yeah, she's cool. She should be in more movies. She should make an action movie with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, because I'd much rather see her than Kate Hudson showing up in movies.
Yeah, Kate Hudson kind of needs to eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess she's okay. Actually, I think... God, I saw Almost Famous, and she was in that. And
that's easily the best thing she's ever been involved in.
What about 9?
I know of no one who has seen that movie.
That's because no one saw it.
I'll see it when it's on Netflix, but not before.
Oh, gosh, who else is a slummy actor? Well, Chuck Russell, the director, needs to make more movies. I mean, it's a crime. He made The Mask, Eraser, and Scorpion King. Now, some people might say, oh, Eraser and Scorpion King suck. Well,
what?
You're wrong. Well, some people will probably say that, just like people think Terminator 3 was terrible.
Ugh.
You know,
I know people who think that, and I just don't understand them.
You know, Terminator Salvation was fine, but I would take Terminator 3 over any day of the week.
I would personally take Terminator 3 over any other movie in the Terminator franchise.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
I will.
Wow.
It's awesome.
James Cameron's not going to be your friend anymore.
Yeah, screw him.
So much for your Facebook request.
He took $15 of my money that I'll never see again.
And he was like, ha 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 ha.
He's like, I'll go and make another shitty 3D movie with this.
Well, apparently he's been married to Susie Amos for like 10 years now. That's pretty amazing for him.
Well, she's been waiting until he made another movie so she could, you know, bank on that.
Yes, he lost his Titanic fortune on Linda Hamilton, so.
Yeah.
So then, like, you know, later that night, ring, ring, hello, this is Catherine Bigelow, I answer my phone with my whole name. Hey, it's Jim, can I come over? I want to fuck you.
Best director.
Best directorist. Do you think it's possible that they'll give her the Best Director Oscar and then give Best Picture to Avatar?
It's definitely possible, but I hope it doesn't happen. I'd rather see her win that and Best Picture, even though I haven't seen Hurt Locker, but I will soon. I'm sure I have no doubt it's the better overall film.
I don't think Avatar is going to lose, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know.
It's sad. Well, I was talking about this earlier, but they won't give an animated movie a Best Picture award, but Avatar, which is for all intents and purposes animated, they'll give that an Oscar, I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
Like Up. I mean, who in their right mind thinks Up is not a better movie than Avatar? I mean...
Well, you did say a right mind, so there's probably is nobody. I didn't even think Up was particularly amazing compared to other Pixar films, but I would definitely take it over Avatar if I had to choose between the two for Best Picture.
I thought it was really good. I thought it had a lot of heart, which Avatar didn't.
Yes.
It's like, you know, like some caricatured old man voiced by Ed Asner is a lot more character than like some perfectly realized CGI cat person.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about Avatar again.
That's very true, though. It's like, you know, you can have all the effects in the world and it doesn't matter if the story's not there and the characters aren't there.
Yeah, remember the last time we saw a movie about a guy who tied thousands of balloons to his house so he could float away to South America and then had to fight with a talking dog and an old guy with a Zeppelin? Remember the last time you saw that in a movie?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. But don't worry, because in Avatar, the best native is a white man.
Yes.
Always remember that.
Yeah, I always love how that's doesn't seem to, or that seems to be lost on everybody.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, we're trying to like honor this indigenous tribe, but we're saying that they couldn't stand up for themselves until a white person helped them out. It's like white guilt, but then it's like erases that guilt. It's very schizophrenic. Again, like when this kind of stuff, you know, when Dance of Wolves came out, I mean, Dance of Wolves was, you know, it was long enough ago that, you know, we hadn't really gotten into the postmodern Western. I mean, people could say that the Clint Eastwood movies are like postmodern, but Dance of Wolves isn't even a Western, but
no,
it was kind of an original thing back then. But since then, we've seen so many movies like that it's not really original anymore, like Fern Gully.
Fern Gully.
Yep.
I always wonder if, Costner and the makers of Fern Gully are getting any sort of royalties off of Avatar.
Well, you know, like I said, if the 1993 Oscars are being held now, Unforgiven wouldn't win. It would be Fern Gully.
Yes.
Because Fern Gully was a better movie than
Obviously.
Unforgiven. Because it had animated magical tree people.
Yes. And a home tree.
Okay, here's another question about Avatar. Well, there's this thing I watched on YouTube the other day. You probably wouldn't appreciate it, but it was this very long and very detailed dissection of The Phantom Menace. And, you know, watching it, like, you realize parts about that movie that were bad that you didn't even realize before. It was very enlightening.
Really?
Yeah. But the guy, like, talks about things. He's like, this makes no sense. And he explains it. And like, wow, that doesn't make... Like, not just, like... the droid army landing on the opposite side of Naboo and then marching across the entire planet.
Yeah.
Not even that, but anyway, like things like Avatar, like what does Sam Worthington's character really do? He like points at the tree and says, here are where the load bearing members are.
Yeah.
And then they go in there and they blow the shit out of it. Why didn't they just go in there and blow the shit out of it in the first place?
Yeah.
Why spend all the money and time on the stupid Avatar? Who cares? Just go in and blow it up.
Yeah. It's not like rocket science.
Oh, because they wanted them to leave peacefully, even though they still didn't care.
Yeah.
So why not just go in and blow it up?
Yep.
It's like, what did Roger Ebert, who gave that movie 4 stars, he called it the idiot plot. He said it's a movie that only exists... Oh, if everyone in the movie weren't idiots, the movie would be like 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
Because I think he said, what was it, like Obsessed. He said that was an idiot plot movie.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, if all the characters aren't idiots... there would be no movie, but the characters always do stupid things,
so that's
what makes the movie, is because they keep causing shit to happen.
Well, this is the guy who gave Phantom Menace 4 stars, and even though I like Phantom Menace, I can recognize the fact that it's no way in hell a 4-star movie, so it's, Ebert, well, like Dale said, I think it was the week Avatar came out, and he's like, you know... Does Ebert have any integrity? He looked at, you know, whatever all of his latest reviews were, and like 3 out of the 4 movies he reviewed got 4 stars. It's just, it has no meaning.
And maybe he's like sick. I mean,
he's been like that for a long time, though, where he'll just throw 4 stars at, like, everything.
Well, he said watching Avatar was like watching Star Wars for the first time. And so the first time I saw Star Wars, and, like, they're going down the trench, it's, like, thrilling, you know?
Yeah. Well, you felt like there was something at stake. You know, the characters, you know, Star Wars isn't the most amazingly scripted film of all time. I mean, the dialogue's cheesy and whatever, but, you know, the story as a whole is cool and the characters are interesting. I mean, you have villains like Darth Vader running around and, you know, and so there's actual weight at the end because you're like, holy shit, you know, this Death Star thing's kind of bad news.
Right.
Somebody needs to put an end to this. And, yeah, it's just... And you've never seen anything like that before. And the thing is, you know, like we've talked about with Avatar, it's like, well, yeah, it's a different world and it's blue-skinned cat people, but we've seen the story told 50 times before.
Oh, and remember, if they're going to drop like 4,000 pounds of explosives on some sacred tree,
yes,
it's better to make the ship go off course a few hundred yards and drop the explosives there.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah.
As long as it's not right on the tree.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where it explodes.
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, for me, Avatar is one of those movies where people are, like, told that they're supposed to like it, so they just do. You know, people don't think about it. Because it was like that guy at work that day, you know, when I said, well, here, blah, 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 this, this, and this, and he's like, well, you just ruined it for us. And I'm like, well, how did I ruin it for you? You went to the theater and you saw it already, and you said you enjoyed it. But he was like, well, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you know, movies like that don't need to have, you know, great characters and great dialogue or whatever, and you know, and I was just like, you know, well, is it wrong to, you know, want those things in a movie and expect
I guess they don't have to have those
things, they don't.
Clearly from the box office, but they should.
Yeah. It's like, I don't think it's that much to ask if I'm going to go and put $15 down that I should be entertained and see a moving story.
Well, it's like what we were talking about earlier. I mean, you know, Citizen Kane is regarded to be a, you know, all these new technical things were...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they're going to be calling Avatar the Citizen Kane of movies in 60 years. I don't think time is...
I think time will turn on
Avatar pretty quickly, much faster than it did on Titanic.
I think once it gets to home video and people don't have it on this, you know, 80-foot screen
or in
3D in front of them...
Oh, but it'll be one of the first movies to use the new Blu-ray 3D spec.
Yeah, but...
I don't know about you, but I'm going to go right out and buy a new TV.
Yeah, who the hell is going to have TVs that'll do that? But I think very quickly, once it gets on home video, and well, it's like Dale's talked about with like the Star Wars prequels. You know, he was like, you know, once he saw them at home, he liked them less. You know, and I think, you know, part of it is you go to the theater and you're all like hyped up, you know, and it's all in the moment and stuff, you know, and it's like the big screen and it's like a new Star Wars movie, and so you're all like geeked up and shit. You know, and then you get home and you've, you know, seen it already and it's months later, and then you're kind of like, oh yeah, this is kind of weak or this is kind of weak. And, you know, you start picking it apart and realize...
Yeah, I disliked Phantom Menace immediately.
Yeah.
The very first line of dialogue, I was like, something's wrong with this movie.
Well,
sequels
fine,
I thought were fine. The second one doesn't hold on.
I don't know. I think Attack of the Clones is pretty bad, actually. But, yeah, I don't know. So I think that's... a big part of it. I think when people get Avatar home and watch it, it won't be what they remember it to be. I guess I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's sad, though. It saddens me that now, not that box office is everything, but I kind of liked the fact that the top grossing movie of all time used to actually be a good movie. You know, like a movie I'd want to watch, where now it's not going to be. Because by this time next week, Avatar will have passed Titanic for domestic box office, and it's already set the record for global. So.
Yeah, like Dark Knight is a good movie. Of course, a lot of movies like Shrek 2, Pirates 2,
Transformers
2
that are crap.
Because they're not making like... I mean, Avatar is probably going to end up with like $700 million or
at least. Yeah, I'd be shocked if it doesn't hit at least 700 at the rate it's going.
There's still a movie that could beat it. The Ten Commandments in 3D, which would make it the 30 Commandments.
That's the remake I still can't believe they haven't made yet.
Yep.
There you go. McConaughey could play Moses.
Hey, that could work.
It could work.
Farrell, let these people go. I've got a southern accent again because I'm from Texas. Maybe Bill Paxton could be in it as like the old Farrell. Like, oh shit, I'm gonna die. Moses, you are my successor. Bleh, I'm dead. I die in every movie almost.
Be like, Israelites don't surf. Yeah.
Yeah, I read something once where like Matthew McConaughey was at a party and he got drunk and they had to carry him out, and then he came back the next day looking for his flip flops. It's like, wow, that sounds like something he'd do.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard some stories of him, you know, and being on the beach and stuff and just goofy crap going on, and it's like, yeah, that's cool though. He's just living the life he wants to live and doing what he wants to do, and I guess
it's
that's
kind of
cool.
Like a proto Jeff Bridges.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, well, we've probably said enough for one podcast.
Sure.
All right, we'll see you here next time. And then, yeah, if we still have any listeners.
Yeah, go watch Mel Gibson kill people this weekend. What is it? Edge of Reason, Darkness. Edge of Darkness.
Extraordinary Edge of Darkness Reasons.
Yes.
.com.
Enjoy.